Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jake Lyman in for David Reed. Happy draft day, Mr. Jake Lyman.
Thank you. Happy draft day. How's it going, Jared?
I am just fabulous. Just fabulous on this wonderful Fireball Hot Take Friday. And I got to start. We're starting on the draft. Then we will constantly be monitoring the Twitter accounts of Frank Saravalli and of Elliot Friedman and of Pierre LeBron, etc. as we continue on throughout the day. This is one of the more exciting draft nights. The Predators have the picks at 5, 23, and 26. And I'll be honest, I have not thought one bit about 23 or 26 today. But here's where I want to start. At the end of the day, the draft, while it's entertaining and it's full of everything that we really love about sports, opinions and gossip and drama and high stakes, but the draft is the means to an end. Again, it's every player says, well, it's not where you get drafted, it's what you do after you get drafted, and big picture, that's the truth. Rand Carthon one time tried to lecture the Titan reporters about, hey, this is one of the best nights of these kids' lives. And Mike Vrabel had to fire back. If this ends up being one of the best nights of their lives, they probably didn't have a very good NFL career. And that is true. So the Predators are on the clock at number 5. And I'm just going to say it like this. I know who I want them to pick. I have a pretty good feeling who I think you guys want them to pick. Everybody's a little different here and there. But if the Predators are going to win the Stanley Cup within the next 10 years, and that's going to be increasingly more difficult if UC Soros doesn't actually become, you know, good, it's going to be because of tonight. If they win the Cup in the next 10 years, it will be because of tonight. It's going to be because they're either going to use that number 5 pick on either the big boy forward of the future, or they're going to trade that pick, and they're going to either get the big boy forward of the future via the trade, or more importantly, the big boy forward of right now via that trade. If they get this pick wrong in 5 years, when it's time for this player to be the Predators' number one center, or in the case of Porter Martone, their number one winger who's scoring 40 goals a season, then they will be a below average team. And we'll be looking for them to pick high again in the future so that we can wait another 5 years to see if that guy is going to be any good. Could they pull off some kind of crazy trade where they miss on this pick, but somehow, some way, Barry Trotz ends up duping somebody and they end up getting some superstar that has nothing to do with tonight? I mean, I guess it's possible, but it's not very likely. And do you really ever trust the Predators to have the stones to pull something daring like that off? Of course not. And I'm not going to be one of those guys to pretend that I've scouted James Higgins and Brady Martin or Porter Martone or any of them enough to say, this is who they should take. I am not Bob McKenzie. And I don't believe that you pass up on a 40-goal scoring winger just because you have to have a center, which is some of the argument or anything like that. All I can say about the Predators is this. They have to get it right. They have to get this decision right. There are a lot of decisions. No general manager is perfect. None. Howie Roseman of the Eagles drafted Andre Dillard in the first round of the NFL draft. No general manager is perfect. Nobody's right all the time. And a broken clock is right twice a day. But there are some decisions in sports and some decisions in life that you have to get right. For the Predators, this is one of them. They have to get this player right. They're scouting. Their psychoanalysis, their medical staff, everybody has to get this right. They have to get the player right. They have to get the talent right. They have to get the work ethic and makeup right. And they have to get the plan for the player who they're going to take with the fifth overall pick. They're going to have to get that development plan right. And if they don't, regardless of what they do at 23 and 26, if they don't, barring a miracle, in 2029, we'll be sitting right here today having the exact same conversation, perhaps with a different general manager making the choice. The reason we all have strong opinions about this and the reason we care so much about it is because deep down inside, we all want the Predators to win. And when I say win, I don't mean, well, we want them to win a couple of playoff games and maybe just, if we're lucky, get to the second round of the playoffs and then say nice season when the boys put their sticks in the air. No, no, no. We want the Predators to win the Stanley Cup. And we have had a little taste of that. Again, they didn't win the cup, but they got pretty darn close. And I think everybody knows there was a lot of luck that went involved into that run. It would be nice if the Predators, instead of having a group of really solid players, had one great player for the first time in the history of their franchise that they could really hang their hat on to be a difference maker. No disrespect to Shea Weber. So today is the day where the Predators must land that foundational piece for the future prize. This is, and again, I know it's five, it's not one, it's not two, it's not three, which is probably where I would have liked them to have been. But this is the gift that they get and that we as fans get for having sat through that miserable season last year. And the Predators are determined, despite not really doing anything differently than they did a year ago, the Predators are determined not to have a repeat of last season. And I'm going to say this, as much as I don't really trust Andrew Burnett coaching this group, as much as I don't really trust Barry Trotz in fixing the lineup by getting a second line center or two right shot defensemen, which I think they need, at the end of the day, I do not expect the Predators this upcoming season to be as freaking bad with Steven Stamkos and Roman Josi and everybody else. I don't expect them to be as freaking bad this year as they were last year. So this is the one time you're going to get to pick high at the top of a draft. This is the one time. I've been on the radio here for 10 years. This is my 10th NHL draft. Now, some of these have mattered less because either they were picking at the end of the first round because they went to the cup final, or because David Poile traded away the first round pick for Cody Franson and Ryan Hartman and things of that magnitude. But this is the highest they've ever picked since I've been on the air in 10 years. And again, when you're picking five, it's not the same talent that you get when you're picking one. And even if you were picking one in this year's draft, Matthew Schaefer and Michael Mesa, they are not the prospects that Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid were coming into the NHL. That said, if they're going to win the Stanley Cup in the next 10 years, they have to get it right today. Now, what is getting it right? Today, there are a lot of different opinions about that. But I'm just here to tell you, if they're going to win the cup, they better get it right today. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Here on the program, already a big trade. And it does somewhat involve the Predators, so we'll get to that one coming up next. The Noah Dobson trade has been made. He is headed to Montreal in exchange for a couple of first-rounders. And I think there's a little tell that I guess maybe has me leaning one way over another. We'll get to that next. Dominic Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
All right, so we're going to let you go with this one, DB. Big day ahead. We got a new CBA. We got a draft.
Yep.
What's going to be the biggest thing that happens today? When we talk to you next week, whenever we talk to you next, what would be the biggest thing that happened on Friday?
Oh, do I want to pull a Hail Mary here? How about Schaefer and Higgins wind up with the Islanders? There you go. Schaefer and Higgins wind up with the Islanders.
Wow.
Matthew Darche going all Brian Burke on him. I love it.
Bring James Higgins home to the island. Find a way. Make it happen.
There you go. That was Dan Bernstein. I said Dan Bernstein. That was DB on Sirius. Dennis Bernstein There you go. I think Dan Bernstein was a teacher of mine in college. Anywho, Jake, I don't watch TV while I'm on the air, but today, I guess, is a different day, and I'm trying to get the TV on to the NHL Network. This is like the one time that I would do that, and I'm struggling with that in and of itself. So, you heard right there the take on SiriusXM NHL Radio this morning. I believe, Dennis Bernstein says, I believe from the fourth period, I believe that the Islanders are going to end up with both Matthew Schaefer and with James Hagans. And it seems like the ability to make that move for the New York Islanders got a little bit easier today when they made the deal with the Montreal Canadiens to get two first-round picks and some, I heard Adam say, third, fourth-line guy. So some Scarbini and two first-round picks to be able to give up Noah Dobson. And it does feel like that is a move for them to try to load up to go get James Hagans. Now, I remember a couple years ago, 10 years ago it was, Boston had three picks in a row in the 2015 draft, and they were obsessed with a local kid, a defenseman out of BU by the name of Noah Hanifin, who's now obviously with the Vegas Golden Knights. And Carolina held the sixth pick, and the thought was, could the Bruins package the three picks to move up to go get Noah Hanifin? And we all know that the answer was no, and they took three bad players with those three picks in a row. Although DeBrusque isn't that bad, but, I mean, it was an unmitigated disaster with what they ended up doing. I say all of this because the Nashville Predators are not trading the fifth overall pick for the 16th and the 17th overall pick, because at this point, what good does four picks in tonight's draft, 16, 17, 23, and 26, do for the Nashville Predators? And I'd say that's nothing. But I can't rule out all the smoke. When it comes to the first four picks, it feels like we know. Schaefer 1, Misa 2, Frondell 3. Now, that fourth pick, I think it seems like most people believe that's going to be Caleb Denoyer. It's not going to be James Hagans. It could be Denoyer, it could be Brady Martin, it could be Porter Martone. So Utah, who knows? And maybe that's where the Islanders are targeting with those two first-round picks and maybe more to try to get up to make the trade in order to take Hagans at four in front of the Predators. But what it really makes me think is it makes me think that, because, again, those two picks, in my opinion, are not good enough for the number five pick. It makes me think that the Islanders don't think the Predators are going to pull the trigger on Hagans at number five. I'll just say this. This morning, when I woke up, I thought the Nashville Predators were going to draft James Hagans with the fifth pick. Everything I know about the Predators would make me think that Hagans is their guy. They have been looking for a number one center for years. They've been begging, please give us a number one center. Lord, please give us a number one center. Amen. And they've tried everything, whether it's trading for Johansson or trading for Mike Fisher or going out and signing Matt Duchene and thinking he could play center. They've tried it all. So here's their shot where they're going to have the ability to pay. They're not trading back to 16. That's not going to happen. And not only that, the Predators as an organization, their head of scouting, David Kelty, he's a David Poile guy. He's a Team USA guy. Hagans, Team USA. Last year, they drafted Teddy Stiga from Team USA. Peter Laviolette and John Hines were both coaches for Team USA. So they are big when it comes to Team USA. They're big on the Team USA guys. So I woke up this morning thinking this is the perfect guy for the Predators to draft, knowing what I know of the Predators. He profiles as a number one center. I know he's a little smaller, but he's not 5'2". He's 5'11". He had a good college season last year. He was a point-per-game guy, which is similar to that of Logan Cooley, who is the number one center in Utah right now. I heard Craig Button at TSN compare James Hagans to Nico Hischier, who went number one in 2019. And Nico Hischier is a good player. Not great, but he's good. And I say this because that's what I figured they were going to do. They've got an owner who's the former governor of Tennessee. This is a USA, USA, USA type of kid. Can't you just see the governor of Tennessee, the former governor, getting all excited about having the first or second line center on Team USA in the Olympics? Not next year, but in a couple of years. And yet, I can't get over the move the Islanders made for Dobson, because they didn't want to pay him. That's what this all goes down to, is Noah Dobson was a 30-point player last year. He was a 70-point player the year before that. He's 25 years old. This is kind of reminds me a lot of Ryan Johansson. They didn't want to pay him. So since they didn't want to pay him, they had to find somebody else to be able to pay him. So that I don't, but again, this does feel like a load up for Higgins. And I don't know if you make that trade for those two picks, if you're the Islanders, unless you think you're going to go get James Higgins. So I wondered when I saw that today, I said, the Predators are not dealing 5 for 16 and 17. And if they do, I'll go absolutely catatonic. You thought it was bad. Well, I guess catatonic would just, I would be so angry I wouldn't even be able to move. But I think a lot of people saw that and thought, 5 for 16 and 17? And I believe Frank Saravalli put out there that some trade charts say that that's it between the fourth and the fifth pick. So what? We've sat here for years and we've been like, oh, man, if the Predators could just pick high in the draft, if they could just pick high one time, if they could pick high in the draft just once. Well, now they're going to pick high. Now you want to trade it back? No, they're not doing that. They don't need four players that are going to be okay players, third line guys, second pair defensemen. They don't need that 4 years from now. So I think if there's any tell here, it's either that they know the Predators are not going to take Higgins at five, and they're going to try to make a move with Philadelphia or Boston or somebody like that, or maybe they're trying to make a move for Utah at four, thinking the Predators are going to take Higgins. But I think it's more likely than not that the Islanders are not going to be able to trade with Utah to get to four, even with the draft picks that they do have. I don't see the Predators making a deal unless they get a freaking stud in return with that fifth overall pick, and I certainly don't see them doing it for two picks, and I do think the Islanders are going for Higgins. So my reaction to the trade is maybe this means all that smoke that's out there about Porter Martone, maybe that's legit. Maybe everybody knows, the same way everybody knows the Islanders like Schaefer, everybody knows the Sharks are going to take Misa, everybody knows that Frondell's going to go three to the Blackhawks. Again, Arizona's kind of the wild card at four, but it does feel like Caleb DeNoyer is going to be the pick there. And everyone's wondering what the Predators are going to do. Maybe everybody knows the Predators are going to take Porter Martone. Maybe that's what this is about. And the Islanders are stockpiling picks that, again, we know the Predators are not going to take. And maybe they're doing that so that they can get to six or seven to try to get James Higgins instead of trying to move up to five where the Predators are, because again, the arsenal that they have acquired, in my opinion, is not good enough for what it would take to get to number five and what it would get for me to move off of James Higgins with that pick. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025 here on our program. So again, they better get it right, number one. And number two, I think the Noah Dobson trade is actually more about what the Predators might not do, take Higgins, than it is about what they may do, which would be trading with the Islanders to give them that pick for Higgins. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll hit some of your phones. Plus, the one thing, if the Islanders were to want to call when it comes to James Higgins, the one thing that I would demand in return, there's really two things I would demand in return. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game. Did James Higgins' college season turn you off? Apparently, the reason he's been falling, Bob McKenzie ranked him before the year as the number one prospect. Now we're seeing some mock drafts. He's at eight, he's at nine. And there's a thought that, and I heard what you said when asked about his size, saying like, hey, you know, There's some really good small players in the NHL. Absolutely. But did his college season turn you off? Because apparently that's what has rubbed some teams the wrong way.
Well, I didn't see him. I saw him twice maybe in college this year, maybe once. But I saw him at the World Championships, and he was good. He was really good. He had, I think, one game that I could say that was pretty average for him. But, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, he was playing with two pretty good players. Well, if you're at his age and you're playing with two players like Leonard and Perreault, I mean, you know, they're good players to make you look good, as a lot of people say. But you got to be a good player to play with them. So I'm on the other way with him. So, you know, every year there's a guy that falls. I think last year it was Cole Eiserman. I think he was a guy that was ranked number one. I think it's a little bit of a curse being ranked number one if maybe you're not a generational talent. And those guys get picked to death. I mean, James Hagans is going to be a good player in this league. He is. And I think those players get the curse of when you're not necessarily a generational player, the scouts pick you apart to the point where you just start to fall a little bit. And I know he's a good player.
There you go. That was Barry on our show, Fireball Hot Take Friday. By the way, I will say this. I did have, and we will get into this later in the program, I did have ChatGPT analyze what Barry Trotz said. You know, the James Hagans cut, we took a Martone cut, we took a Hagans cut, and I asked ChatGPT, I said, tell me what to make of this. And it was pretty conclusive what ChatGPT took from what Barry Trotz said. But you'll have to hear later in the program when we get into that what exactly it said. 615-737-1025, and our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Let me just say this before we get to your phones. As far as the Islanders are concerned, the trade, if they were to call me with the fifth pick, we'd have to start with Matthew Barzal. That would be the first thing. Yesterday, Adam Vignan told me that it would take number five in order to get Noah Dobson. And I said, no, thank you. But if you called me at five and you said, I'll do whatever it takes, Jared, to get James Hagans, because I am going to take James Hagans if I'm on the clock at five. If it goes the way I think it's going to go, again, which is Schaefer, Misa, Frondell, Denoye, and I'm on the clock at five, it will be James Hagans. That will be the pick if I'm the general manager. That said, if New York calls and says, Jared, what will it take? We are starting at Matthew Barzal. Now, Barzal is 28 years old, and he does have some trade protection, and I don't know exactly what the trade protection, because I think it's like a 22-team list that he can refuse a trade to. So I don't know if that's me or not. Like, does that mean that I can't trade that? He comes in at $9.1 million, so either they need to retain something or I'd send back, you know, a Michael Bunting or somebody that carries a cap hit. You know, look, you're going to have to take back this money because I'm not going to be able to take on the full $9.1 million and then still be able to take care of my lineup or whatever. But that's what it would start off with. He signed through 2031. He's 28 years old. And again, we were talking about how, hey, if Trotz comes up here and says, you know, to his old pawpaws, hey, I'm really rebuilding. I'm focused on the future. Stamkos and those guys would get all upset. Well, what if I say, hey, I just traded for Matthew Barzal, 28 years old. Guy's basically a 70-point-per-season guy. But that's not all. I'd want next year's one, and I'd want it to be unprotected. And I'd try to get one of the two picks out of them for this year on top of that. Think 17. So as of right now, if the Islanders called, Jared, what would it take? It would take Matthew Barzal. It would take your one unprotected next year, and it would take 17. That would be the trade. And you may not like that trade. I already see Adam Vignan texting me. He may not like that trade. He may think that's too much. I don't know. I'm just telling you that's what it would take for you to give me or for me to give you James Hagans. That's what it would take. 615-737-1025 here on the program. And again, I don't know if you're part of the 22 teams that Barzal can refuse a trade to or not. And that's one where, again, I do think Trotz could probably work with him and say, like, hey, we have Stamkos, Marchessault, Forsberg, O'Reilly. Like, we're trying to win. Yossi, Soros, even though I hate Soros. But we have those guys. We're trying to win. And I think Trotz may be able to get through to him. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt is going to kick us off today here on the Fireball Hot Take Friday. Matt, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared. So I was just curious, like, you know, I definitely think they got to use that first draft pick at number 5 overall. But I really think you got to look at what you can give up in those later draft picks, but to, like, what you can actually get. Is it, you know, how big, you know, can you give up the 23rd, 26th, and the 34th to get a better player, or do you just give up one first rounder, or do you, like, how do you package that? What are you thinking is to get the best payout?
Okay, so it depends on what player do you want.
So, I mean, I just think, like, if you're wanting to get a play now player, so, you know, does it take just one first-round draft pick, or does it take two first-round draft picks to get a player that you're going to see this year in Nashville?
Well, like, again, you want to see who do you want? You want me to trade for somebody that can play right now? Who do you want? Who do you want me to trade for?
That's a good question.
Okay, so I appreciate your call. So, like, if you want me to trade for Rasmus Anderson, because if I'm trading for Matthew Barzal, I'm also trading for Rasmus Anderson. And so if you want me to make that trade, and also, by the way, Callum Ritchie, who was a first-rounder a couple of years ago here in Nashville, he's a young centerman who the Islanders acquired, I believe, from the Avs, maybe? They acquired him at the deadline. He could also be in play as far as that trade is concerned. But it depends on who you're asking me to acquire. If you're asking me to acquire Matthew Barzal, now the fifth pick has to be involved. You can't trade 23 to get Matthew Barzal. Rasmus Anderson wants out of Calgary, and Rasmus Anderson is a right shot first pair defenseman. Now, Noah Dobson was 25 years old. Rasmus Anderson is not. Noah Dobson has had a 70-point season. Rasmus Anderson has not. And Rasmus Anderson's going to need a new contract, but it's not going to be as big as Noah Dobson's, and it doesn't kick in until next year. So my guess is if I'm acquiring Matthew Barzal with the fifth pick, and then I pick up the phone and say, okay, I want to call Calgary and I want to make the deal for Rasmus Anderson, I do feel like I have a better shot now at acquiring Rasmus Anderson and him wanting to come to Nashville and sign an extension if I have Matthew Barzal on my team. But again, they're probably going to ask me for two first-round picks. Now, you may be able to get it for one, but I don't know the answer to the question you're talking about, which is, if I want to make a trade for a player who plays today, well, just think about your team. If somebody called you today and asked for Philip Forsberg, what would that cost? And you know it wouldn't be the same as Michael McCarron. But both Philip Forsberg and Michael McCarron are going to play in the NHL this year. So the question is, what player do you want me to trade for? And then, can I pay that player? Let's go to Adam in Portland, who's up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Adam, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
I wouldn't care who. I don't want anybody. It reminds me, I've used this comparison of the show Alone, where somebody will kill a big animal, and they have all this meat, and they still come and do a health check, and they kick them out because they haven't been eaten. So it's like Barry, you got to eventually spend these picks, man. Like, you keep telling me over and over that we've stockpiled picks. Well, it's time to get younger. It's time to get these players. You said 10 years you haven't had a pick this high. You got to spend the pick. There is nobody that these guys could try to. They're not gonna. Of course, there's a couple of guys in the league that you would take for that. But like realistically, there's nobody that you could get to get up and get number 5 away from me, man. Like you gotta start somewhere. This is it. Get rid of the other two picks. I don't care about the other two picks, but you can't get off of 5, dude. Not one bit.
I think there's probably about 25 players. Thank you for the call. Adam, I think there's about 25 to 30 players in the league who I think you would trade the number 5 pick for. And it may be a little bit more than that, but like you would trade the number 5 pick for Nathan MacKinnon. Like you would. You would trade the number 5 pick for Alexander Barkov, Matthew Tkachuk. Would you trade it for Sam Bennett? Probably. I mean, I keep going back to Will Smith. This is what I want to know when it comes to San Jose, which is how much do they love Will Smith? Because 2 years ago, they picked him number four. They loved him. Well, now that they're going to have Macklin Celebrini on their team and they're going to have Michael Misa on their team, do they still love Will Smith? That's one that I'd have a little bit of interest in. 615-737-1025. We have a report about the Islanders and how you may not even factor into any of this. We'll get to that and your phones. We'll do it next. 615-737-1025. Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Stillman and Company on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. I saw a report from Greg Wyshynski about your former club, the Islanders, wanting to try to find a way to trade back to take James Hagan so that they can have their cake and eat it too. And I think I saw the report said something like, well, they also have an extra first-round pick at like 24th overall. And I'm like, don't think that's going to get you up to number five.
Yeah, no, it won't.
But if they called and they said, hey, we'll give you Matthew Barzal. We're tearing it down. We're going to put Barzal and Noah Dobson out there. Then would you be amenable to trading the fifth pick for a Matthew Barzal who in 2028, 2029 will be north of 30? But right now, is if you were looking to contend right now, would be exactly, I think, the kind of player you'd want to add.
Yeah, I think I had Matthew, but I think it's a little bit hypothetical, and I don't like to talk about other teams. But you get a top player at that fifth position, you can turn that player. He can take care of business now, and the fact that you could probably move him to get back in that position would be something like that. But I don't want to talk about any other players. It's a little hypothetical. Plus, it'll get me in a lot of trouble in the league. So, but no, if you get a top player for a top player, then you have to at least think about it.
Okay, Barry, you didn't want to talk about hypotheticals, but here we are. Again, talking the Islanders. So we have a report, and the report comes out via Cam. Again, I don't know exactly who this is, but they got a little check mark, and not the good kind, not the old, you know, blue check mark that mattered. But this is, I believe, a Elite Prospects. This is Cam Robinson, who has a tweet out there saying, quote, the Islanders are making a serious push to get another pick in the top 10 with number four being the focus. Pick 16 and 17 are in play. One source indicated that Islanders owner John Ledecky would approve nearly anything in order to get James Hagans. Why do you think they're targeting four? Is it because they know the Predators are going to take Hagans at number five? There's Trotz right there. Barry Trotz basically telling you that if you talk to him about Matthew Barzal, he'd have interest. Unless I heard that incorrectly, and, you know, when he said, well, I don't want to get into hypotheticals, and I had Matthew in there, but, you know, if you got the opportunity to get a top player and you got a top pick, you know, you have to consider that. It sounded to be like, hey, yeah, I'd be open to talking Barzal. So Barzal, you're unprotected first, and Callum Ritchie. Let's do it. Or 17. Ritchie or 17, you pick. And then the way they'd look at it is it would be Barzal plus their first rounder next year in order to get James Hagans. And I guess half of Noah Dobson. I don't think they do that, but we shall see. And again, we don't even know if you're on the 22-team list that Barzal has trade protection for. But I'm just telling you right now, Barzal, to me, for what this team is trying to do, we're trying to be good now, but we're also trying to be good in the future. Barzal might be exactly what you're looking for because he makes you better today. He makes you much better today. And at $9 million for a 70-point player, remember Elias Lindholm last year signed for eight and a half. So for the money that a little bit more, you're getting a guy who's been a point-per-game player at times in his career in the NHL. And he would be your number one center, and whoever you play next to him would be your top line. So if they keep Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Marchessault together, then that would be the second line because Stamkos and Barzal, and I would assume with Michael Bunting, would probably be your top line. And I actually like Michael Bunting as the third guy on that line to get his rear end in front of the net, let Barzal do his thing, and Stamkos, you fire those one-timers. I actually kind of like it. Let's go to Bob in Antioch, who's up next here, 615-737-1025. Bob, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting.
On NHL.com, a reporter named Adam Kimmelman predicts that the Predators might be taking an 18-year-old, 6'5", 198-pound center named Roger McQueen. And I don't know if you know anything about him, but sure. The writer says that McQueen is a scorer who also plays with the mean streak. But this is what I want your comment about. The reporter says, most importantly, McQueen says he's fully healed from a fracture in his back that limited him to 17 regular season games. So how do you feel about a player with that sort of an injury? Would you be very apprehensive about that? I'm curious.
Bob, good call. Jake, if you could, we actually did ask Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz brought up Roger McQueen as a wild card in this year's draft. And I actually did have ChatGPT analyze what Barry Trotz said about McQueen, because when I heard him talk about McQueen in the back, and you'll hear the little back and forth where Trotz talks about the medical. So let's play the cut, and then I want to react to it and tell you what ChatGPT said.
To me, the wild card in this whole, the two wild cards that you just mentioned, is Roger McQueen. I mean, if you really look at him, he's 6'5.5". Teams are projecting him to be, could be a number one center. There is some question on his back, but I think hopefully that's all been taken care of in terms of all the medical and all that.
Hopefully, shouldn't you have the answer to that right now?
I do have the answer to that. I know a lot of good things. I mean, he's a sprinter. So he's got good genetic genes. If you're that big and you're running sprints, that you're a good athlete.
Have you ever met somebody that had a bad back before?
Yes.
I've never met somebody that's had a bad back. I only know people that have bad backs. I worry about backs.
I do too. And where there's studies on body type, different people have more constant back pain with certain body types, all that. So we're looking at all that. But to me, when you throw out all those names, one of them will probably be a Predator next year. And the two wild cards, to me, is trying to get a gauge where they're going to go is a guy like Martone and McQueen.
Okay. So what I hear with that is I hear, yeah, there could be a wild card trying to figure out where they're going to go for us, knowing that they're not going to us, specifically McQueen. ChatGPT said and put a giant red exclamation point with the quote from Trotz, hopefully all that's been taken care of medically. And you even heard me say, well, hold on, wait a minute. Haven't you seen the reports? Like, you're talking about it like you're me. Like, well, if the doctor's clear as bat, no. You've seen it. You've talked to the doctors. You have the info. We don't have the info. And even Trotz is like, I do. And ChatGPT said he even admits concern when you say, I worry about backs, and he replies, I do too. So I do not think the Predators are in on Roger McQueen. So go ahead and take that one off the list. Both I and ChatGPT from that cut from Trotz believe that Roger McQueen is out. Colin says, Jared, you mentioned the USA hockey connections between Hines and Kelty. Go deeper. Both Hines and Kelty have Boston University connections. Nashville has plenty of BU connections. Hagans, thus, makes sense. The problem is that Hagans doesn't play at BU. Hagans plays at BC. Those are two very different colleges. My sister went to BU. I'm telling you, those are different. But I do hear your point. But again, the Predators love the Team USA thing. And again, I'll just keep saying this, because even though Bill Haslam is not an in-your-face Republican, he is the former Republican governor of Tennessee. And is there nothing that shouts Fox News more than just a USA, homegrown USA, USA, USA type of player? Yeah, I was watching Fox News one time, and they had a commercial about some clothing company. Don't even remember who it was. And it was all about, we're proud to be made in the USA. USA, USA, USA. The finest pants made in the USA. And again, not that Bill Haslam is, you know, one of those kind of guys, and he seems very apolitical outside of his political career. But again, USA, USA. I think there's something to that. Robbie Stanley is anti-Matthew Barzal. He says he gets hurt too often. So I did look at that earlier today, and Matthew Barzal did get hurt last year, but I'm willing to take the risk because while normally, and I don't know, you know, like if he's still hurt or whatever, you know, that, but as long as it's not something that's like degenerative or anything like that, I am willing to take on the potential injury risk for a guy who is clearly a number one center in the NHL. Let's see. Barzal played 30 games last year with a kneecap injury, 80 games the year before that, 58 games the year before that, 73 the year before that, and then that's when you get into all the COVID years and things like that. Again, 2 years ago, he was an all-star, and he had an 80-point season. Again, that's what you hope. That's what you hope James Higgins becomes, right? One texter says, thank God John Robinson isn't the Predators' general manager because McQueen sounds like his type of player. Neil says no to McQueen. He broke his back. I heard when Scott Wheeler was on the Midday Show, Scott Wheeler talked about how he said something along the lines of like, yeah, it's really been like a 2.5-year injury, but the back injury got misdiagnosed. No, 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 I'm out. No, thank you. And I could see McQueen drop because even though he's 6'5", got talent, got the, again, back injury, we're all sitting here saying, no, thank you. Imagine if your career was on the line making that type of pick. 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. So I did a dive in on James Hagan's college season at BC and where it compares with other guys statistically. So I want to hit on that. We'll do that coming up. And then there's the Porter Martone stuff. Again, we've been talking about Hagans, Islanders. But there is the Martone element here that I do want to get to. We'll do that next. Stoneman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.